In this episode, the Quacko Packo reviews a photograph, which our talented friend Paint Siegel illustrated for us. You can look at this photo yourself alongside the Packo only on our Blue Sky page or in the Calyrex Game Corner Discord server. All of our links are on our link tree. Welcome to the Calyrex Game Corner's Pokemon D&D campaign, featuring Cindy, a hot-headed teen with a penchant for arson, Gimli, an admirable father seeking to reunite his family, Elodie, a fun-loving baker with a whimsical heart, and Schmidt, a courageous young man searching for his purpose with a duck. Together, they make the Quacko Packo, and this is Dunsparce and Drampa. With Kyogre defeated, the Quacko Packo take a well-deserved rest. They return to the seaside resort with hospitality reserved for heroes, which the Packo surely are at this point. They rest the day away and awaken in the mid-afternoon on the day that the space shuttle was supposed to launch. Who stirs first, and what are their first courses of action? Remember, you're in a luxurious penthouse suite. You all have your own king-size bed. There's a huge buffet that was sprawled out for you the night before that's probably been cleaned up by the two Linoon butlers in this room. Additionally, there's like a pleasant little fountain going on that's got Magikarp in a little pond. There's sculptures and like small statues and beautiful floral arrangements and houseplants and an incredible view. And you could see all the way to Sootopolis City last night. And if you woke up and got out of bed, you could probably do the same thing from the bay windows. Who does what first?
Who will it be, gang?
I mean, Cindy's got a lot to do, so I can start doing.
Oh.
When I wake up.
Oh, Cindy has some plans. Do you begin to
Cindy's
stir?
Got a lot of plans. Sure.
The moment that Cindy begins wriggling in a way that isn't kind of sleep oriented, the two Linoon butlers quietly prance over and stand on their little hind legs at attention and look at Cindy expectantly. Do you have a command for them?
What y'all got for breakfast?
They don't recognize your first couple words, but they recognize the word breakfast. Their ears twitch and their eyes light up, and they stealthily prance back towards this massive, luxurious kitchen, and they begin cooking away unbelievably fast. They are hospitality machines, and almost out of nowhere, the smell of fresh eggs and breakfast meats and fresh fruit begins to pour into all of the rooms of the penthouse suite.
Fabulous.
Surely by the time that you all get up and get out of bed, there will be food ready, basically.
Guess I'll start moving. Since canonically Cindy sleeps with all of her Pokemon out, she'll probably return everybody.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Take off her socks that she also canonically sleeps in. That makes everybody so mad.
Very good. We haven't talked about this before, but the Pokeballs do in fact make a electronic sound when you use them. Do you try to obscure this to help your party members sleep more, or do you just kind of not care at this point?
I mean, if there's like a door to, like, if it's like a separate bedroom, I'll make sure the door is shut, but sure. Otherwise, no.
Okay. You're recalling five or six Pokemon, probably. Just roll me a stealth check just for fun.
15.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. You close the door and you get the Pokeballs like fairly close to the Pokemon as you're returning them. So the pew kind of sound is shorter and less drawn out, and you can recall up to all of your Pokemon or leave one out. That is your choice, and I'm curious what you choose.
Recall everybody.
Okay. Everyone goes back in the ball after a good night's sleep. Who's next?
I think I would stir to the smell of food getting cooked in the morning.
Yeah, of course. The moment that you begin to roll around and prepare yourself for getting out of bed, one of the Linoon butlers runs to your side in an expectant manner. Do you ask anything of it?
You guys got any coffee? Need to wake up a bit.
By using the attack extreme speed, Linoon dashes out of the room, procures some fresh coffee from a pot that had recently been started, and brings it to you directly. Sets it down on your nightstand, and then looks at you with a kind of like an expression that is anticipating the classic follow-up question that comes with a cup of coffee.
Oh, black is fine.
Linoon gives a nod and then returns to help the other Linoon make breakfast.
Of course. Excellent. Is there like a balcony?
Yeah.
Of some kind?
There's like three balconies, because you're like at the top of the building, basically.
Oh, hell yeah.
So you can walk out in any direction that you want.
Oh, yeah. We're going to take in the breeze, cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah, you do so. It's actually not quite morning. It's probably about 3 p.m. because you all went to bed at around 3 or 4.
Fair enough.
You guys got a lot of sleep in. Just for fun, roll me perception. Classic Packo perception.
In classic Packo fashion, I got an 8.
Okay, that's fine. You're looking down at Mos Deep City. You can see most of the town from here. Things look relatively orderly. You wouldn't have imagined that there was like a terrible calamity that occurred last night if you didn't already know about it. It is a little scuffed around the Space Center, you will admit, but nothing other than that seems particularly out of the ordinary. There's a lot of people here milling about, doing various things, walking around. Of course, no one seems to notice you, but there's a fair amount of activity despite the stuff, the horrors that happened last night.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Human ingenuity.
Anything else for your morning routine that you want to describe?
I don't think so yet. Yeah, I'll just see what everyone else is doing.
Okay. Elodie Schmidt.
I can wake up next.
Okay, go for it.
Go for some food, baby.
Sure. Roll out of bed, get straight to the lawn buffet table.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Quite an assortment of breakfast delicacies. There's, of course, various forms of eggs, breakfast meats, pastries, breads, cheeses, fruits. Fresh smoothies made from locally sourced berries. What are you going to be indulging in?
I'll have one of everything.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sick. You're going to have to end up with more or less 2.5 plates that you'll be balancing. So I will be asking for a DC 11 dexterity check, please.
Oh yeah, baby. That's a 9.
Okay. Elodie's still a little worn out, perhaps, having some trouble balancing. She drops one plate that is just loaded up with all sorts of fruit, berries of different types. One of the Linoon catches that Elodie is about to drop this and extreme speeds over to her side and balances the plate on the tip of his nose, waiting for Elodie to pick it back up in a more careful manner.
Oh, thank you so much, buddy.
The Linoon gives an understanding nod and returns to preparing even more foodstuffs. Anything else, or are you just going to chow down? Do you have any plans with your Pokemon, etc.?
Yeah, I'll share if my Pokemon want to eat anything. But other than that, we're just eating.
Okay. There's plenty of space for them. Maybe if bubblegum and grape juice made an appearance, it might get a little cramped. But otherwise, everyone can fit in quite nicely. That leaves Schmidt. Schmidt, do you have any particular descriptions, flavors, etc. for your morning routine after being dubbed a hero of Mos Deep City?
Schmidt is fighting off a massive hangover.
Yeah, definitely.
So he kind of like rolls out of bed literally and like lands with like a thud on the floor. Mm-hmm. And then he just kind of crawls his way into the kitchen looking for something to fight this hangover with.
Perfect.
Coffee, food, whatever's there.
Luckily, there is tons of options. Do you acquire your foodstuffs yourself or do you enlist the help of a butler, Linoon, or even Quacko?
Is it like a buffet like setup, or is it like, do I have to place the order with the?
Yeah, it's the like butler. It's like a buffet setup, and there's two butlers, and they're constantly working. There's like a giant kitchen island, basically. Like the floor plan is like completely open, and like this kitchen is like larger than like a living room, more or less. And then as it extends down, that's where like the crazy Magikarp koi fountain occurs, and then giant bay windows and a big TV and stuff, etc. That is to say, yes, the island in the kitchen is just buffet style and it loops around clockwise.
Yeah, Schmidt, like, grabs his own plate and then, like, every other item he's sticking in his mouth. And then so he'll, like, go up, grab something, put it on his plate, grab the same thing, put it in his mouth. Uh-huh. Go over a little bit, grab something, put it on his plate, grab the same thing, put it in his mouth.
Okay, so he's just kind of hovering around the island just eating stuff.
Chowing down, yeah. Well, he's, like, with the intention of fixing himself a plate, but he's also eating the same amount that he's putting on his plate.
Perfect. I'm assuming that Quacko is accompanying and is probably not hungover, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't think Quacko drank.
The Paco is more or less assembling, a gathering in the kitchen for their morning breakfast, even though it's like 2 or 3 p.m. A Natu, little green round psychic type bird Pokemon, flies up the elevator shaft where a Bronzong is usually stationed and is holding a little note in its mouth. Who will receive this note from Natu?
I can receive it.
Okay. You do so. You open it up and you read just a handwritten note. It says, "Good morning, everyone. Whenever you're ready, come meet us down by the gym. We'd love to hang out and chat. And Dad, it seems like you've made a new friend that we could use, definitely get a lot of good information from. But again, take your time, rest up. Everyone's very grateful for everything that you've done." And it's signed by Jim Lee.
I will read it aloud to everybody.
Okay, you do that.
I need to send a note.
Very good.
Oh, to whom? Officer Delaney and Brandon. I'm gonna like find like a random piece of paper. It could be a napkin. It could be like the notepad paper that the hotel has. I don't care.
Sure. Roll investigation.
Oh, 16.
Okay, that's pretty good. Yes. You remember that by your nightstand, along with like a Sinnoan holy text that usually comes in most hotel nightstands, there was also like a memo pad, which is like perfect for this kind of thing. So you identify a pen and that memo pad, and you can write a note. What do you write? Also, if it's private, you could just tell me and not tell anyone else, or you could tell everyone.
I think everybody knows where this is going, but I'm going to write like, I need to talk to my parents at some point today. Where can I find them? Like, this is very important. It involves the safety of the Hoenn region, legendary Pokemon, yada yada.
Very good.
Written like a typical 15-year-old, like absolutely chaotic, poor punctuation, hand-drawn emojis.
I was going to ask, does Cindy use emoticons in her writing? And I guess the answer is yes.
So, yeah, she 1000% writes, like, emotes into the letter. It's kind of chaotic, but hopefully they can get, like, the gist of the message. Like, I need to talk to my parents. The safety of the region is at stake. Yeah.
Okay. You hand the note to Natu, and Natu kind of is looking at you curiously, questioningly, awaiting something from you.
Can you bring this to Officer Delaney or Officer Brandon of the Duford Police? Wherever they are, if you know where they are.
Okay. Natu, pretty expressionless, will lock eyes with you, and its eyes will glow pink, and it will subject you to a DC 2 wisdom save that you know that people often generally elect to, like, fail, if that makes sense. Like, this is a thing that you most people are just, like, okay with. Do you succumb?
Oh, Cindy has the emptiest mind.
Okay.
We've discussed this already. Empty head allows it to see who I'm trying to send it to.
Perfect. Yeah. As you predicted, as you have lived in Hoenn for a while, you know that sometimes while male birds are usually really, really good at identifying, if they don't have a photo to work off of, the psychic ones may just gently probe the minds of the people sending letters, of which this Natu does, identifies Delaney and Brandon in your mind and flies down the elevator shaft. Great job. With the note received that, you know, when you're ready, eventually, Gimli and friends would like to hang out with you guys out in Mos Deep. Anything else that you want to do up here in the penthouse, the VIP suite?
Is it frowned upon to swim in the koi pond?
You could.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just Cindy trying to take a dip in the fountain. I didn't know we got a pool in here. Cindy has never stayed anywhere so fancy.
Yes, it is quite fancy. It's easily got to be one of the fanciest places that most of you, maybe all of you, have ever been. So, pretty fantastic.
Is someone going to try to stop Cindy from jumping in the pond, or is she just going to jump in?
Yeah, anyone may make some
Schmidt's
sort
gonna
of
check for action. Schmidt's going to acknowledge that they didn't do that, but he's not going to physically attempt anything to stop her.
Okay.
Cool.
What is your diving method? Do you just cannonball? Do you just jump in? Do you step in? Do you dive in?
Is it that deep?
No, not really.
Like, if it's not that deep, she'd probably, like, just, like, little hop in.
Okay, yeah. Are you in your PJs still?
I did take my socks off.
Okay, that's the only one that mattered. So.
So I'm not jumping in there with socks on.
Yeah. Cindy will jump into the pond that is made for fish Pokemon. There's a swarm, as she enters, a swarm of Goldeen and Magikarp begin to encircle her. More curious than anything, but a couple brave Magikarp are looking right at her eyes and holding their mouths open above the water, going, goo, goo, and they're expecting, like, to be fed or something. Like, their mouths are above the water because they're used to getting pellets like this.
I'm just gonna try to, like, pet them.
Okay, roll Pokemon handling.
This is gonna go so well. 14.
Okay. Magikarp are a little scaly, a little rough, but the one that you pet seems to at least not be disturbed by your petting. If you went out to pet a Goldeen, you would note that they're also a little scaly, but a lot, like, softer and kind of frillier. And you are careful while you are petting them to not touch their horn, because it seems kind of sharp. They're just circling around you curiously. A couple of them look a little annoyed by the intrusion, but also they're a little cramped in here anyways, so they don't super mind your presence.
Oh.
Anyone else want to get into any trouble?
Nah.
I will make a note that you have access currently to all of your old adventuring clothes, all of your thematic ones. These fancy suites also have in their closets like really, really gaudy, stereotypical like beach vacation floral print shirts, shorts, sandals, straw hats, etc. Or you could wear some of your old clothes for this outing. It is up to you. Or just stay in your bathing
suit. Is that what we're wearing for the final boss, guys? Fancy hotel clothes?
Hawaiian outfits.
Matching fancy hotel clothes.
They have overalls?
Unfortunately, that is not in the standard attire. I'll let you roll an investigation just to see the next closest thing you can get.
I got a 15.
15 is pretty good. Let me think. And by think, I also mean I'm doing a little bit of research.
Hawaiian overalls? Question mark?
You know what you find is apparently the last time that someone had been conducting maintenance on the wiring that is part of the fountain, someone like left their overalls because they were a maintenance worker. So they're a little dusty and they're not particularly seasonal, but they're just kind of like black electrician overalls, if you wish.
Oh, perfect. Black overalls. I want the hotel Hawaiian print shirt.
Okay.
And my black overalls that I just found. Like, perfect.
Who knows why the electrician took off their overalls when they finished their work.
They got in the hot tub.
But they did, and now they are yours. So, nice job. Okay.
Cindy's 1000% changing into whatever, like the cargo shorts with the button-up shirt, like the Hawaiian shirt.
Sure.
Straw hat, the whole nine.
Yeah,
despite me being 4'11", these overalls fit perfectly.
Yeah. I mean,
the electrician is just as small as I am.
You can roll. You can cuff the bottom.
Yeah.
The legs, you can cuff them. It's in now.
I don't think I care about being in.
Cindy, roll a d20.
A 5.
Okay. There is a berry print on the shirt, of which you recognize the three berries chosen in this pattern to be Custap, Jaboka, and Roap berries, forming a nice kind of reddish, yellow, blue pattern. And then they're on like a solid orangish yellow background. It's got a collar. It's got short sleeves. It's very light and floaty. Very good. I guess that just leaves Elodie and Schmidt. Are you going to change into one of your old campaign outfits, or are you going to put on this tacky kind of hotel clothes?
Above table, I have an idea for Schmidt's in-game outfit that I've already had art commissioned for.
Oh, hell yeah. We'll make sure that happens.
Yeah, just on table. Normally, Schmidt would jump at the chance to wear such bougie clothes. Mm-hmm. But Schmidt has a newfound love for bodysuits.
So he's just going to put that one back on.
He's just going to put his bodysuit.
Very aerodynamic in flight, dude.
Yeah. Just going to put his bodysuit back on. He's going to be like, man, this feels good.
I just love having it like feel like my skin. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah. Schmidt will re-equip the dive suit. And it's a great fit. It's especially worn in now that he had a long night of very stressful activity. It seems like pretty expertly morphed to his muscles, and he likes to wear it. So congratulations. Funny to say congratulations after changing your outfit, but
that's great job with that one.
Yeah, you really did it, dude. That,
incredible. Dude, that's so much character development.
There's like a little jingle that plays.
Yeah.
Like the end of a Mario level or something.
Right, yeah.
Except it's actually just Cindy splashing in the fountain.
That leaves Elodie. Elodie, you going back to cowboy days? Going back to the original baker outfit? What are you doing?
I'm sure we'll have time to change before the, like, final mission, right? But for now, mm-hmm. I'm definitely going tacky hotel clothing.
Okay, perfect. I guess I should have Elodie and Gimli also roll d20 if you want the berry flavor to know what berries are on your shirts.
I got an 11.
Okay.
11. I got a 14.
Oh, okay. So you all get different combos. Congratulations. They were paired up like every few numbers. Elodie gets the delightful combo of pineapple, pomeg, and kelpsy berries. Pineapple berry. Tropical. Yeah, very tropical. Pineapple berries kind of looks like a pineapple, but as a berry. Pomeg berry is kind of a reddish orange rotund looking berry with a green stem, and the kelpsy berry is like a long snake-like looking berry that is blue. Gimli gets the Greppa, Tomato, and Cornberry shirt. Greppa is a round yellow berry. Tomato is a reddish-orange berry that kind of looks like a tomato, but spiky. And the Cornberry is like a delicate-looking grape-like berry, or series of berries, I suppose. It has multiple berries that is kind of shielded in a leaf that surrounds it protectively. So, very good, if you wanted to have that visual of what those berries were on the shirts. Now that everyone's dressed, Cindy, are you still splashing in the pond? Are you going to call it?
Dressed and, like, get ready to go. Okay.
You could just stay there all day. I mean, the fish...
No, we got business to attend to. We just had to be a feral gremlin first.
Yeah, that is fair. I guess you all assemble, and I will ask if you descend the elevator shaft, or do you have a different means of returning to the center of town?
How high up are we on? No, I'll take the elevator. I'm not jumping off the balcony.
Okay. Yeah, you're pretty high up. It's at least a dozen floors, and you're at the top. So, pretty high. Maybe not quite like Silfco Mauville high, but getting there for sure. Everyone okay with the elevator? Does anyone want to do something creative? I didn't mean that in a condescending way.
Yeah, you want to do something, guys? Like, come on.
That's how it came out.
Are you guys squares? Are you guys cool?
Yeah, it sounds like a bunch of nerds taking the elevator.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to take the nerd way.
Okay. That's totally fine. I didn't mean it to come out like that. Anyway, you press the little button that emits like a psychic resonance, and Bronzon, who controls the elevator with a little platform on top of its head, rises up quickly to your floor, and you are all welcome to get on and descend to the lobby. You do so. Have Quacko give me a charisma check, please.
Schmidt's going to say, you know, I love this elevator. You never have to wait a long time.
Seemingly no response. This Bronzon is not the same Bronzon that you met in Rustboro City. However, maybe it's just the emphasis you put on the word, the stress that went under your feet as you meant to emphasize it. There's a slight little dingle dangle from the bell inside of Bronzon. Just a little bit.
I am satisfied. Okay. It said charisma from Quacko.
Yeah.
Which Quacko has a -1 in charisma. Mm. But I rolled a 16. So it's
pretty
15.
Good. Yeah. You all exit the elevator, and you all also catch some glances. Employees, tourists, people of all kinds gathered in the lobby. People are checking in, people are checking out, people are doing their jobs. Everyone kind of notices you. Everyone kind of, no one goes out of their way to, like, make a big scene of it, but you can tell that everyone has a vague idea of who you are, and it's an unusual feeling. Do you interact with them, say anything to them, or do you just make your way to the center of town?
They hate us because they ain't us.
So true. I'm once again princess waving.
Okay, very good. Once Elodie starts princess waving, a few people, maybe some more like, you know, innocent children and stuff also like wave, not quite princessy, but more like high kind of wave, shaking their hand around, maybe extra like child. How am I trying to describe? Toad, I think. Toad from Mario Party is what I'm visualizing. He waves, right? Yeah. There's just a bunch of toads in here. They're all waving. No. Probably too much description for a really subtle action. People respond to Elodie's wave is what I'm trying to say. Okay. Very good.
Yeah, with the attention, will throw up his hood like to cover himself and just go to meet Jim Lee and everyone else.
Okay, so he's wearing his cloak with the wetsuit.
Yeah.
Okay, that's important for visual. Okay, very good. Schmidt and Quacko will move forward a little bit. Maybe Schmidt, seeking a little bit of anonymity, is going to lead the Paco in exiting the hotel to reunite per the message received from Jim Lee. You all exit the Seaside Resort, and again, people going about their business. There's tourists, there's people who are checking out the Space Center, and they're like looking around. They're like, oh, like what? Like, this is what happened here. Like, there's some burn marks. There's some sanitation crews that are cleaning what you can only be assumed is some sort of biohazard in some areas, because there's like no caution tape and people wearing PPE. Mostly around the Space Center. There's a few like puddly areas where some water dripped in at some point, either surged in or fell in through the top of the Telekine Dome. And people are going about their days, but they're also addressing this. And a lot of people are just vacationing. Lots of people piled onto the beach in chairs. Children and Pokemon and are all running about. And you all hear the familiar hoots and hollering from the guy who jet skis following a Sharpedo. You can hear the Sharpedo tearing circles around the island, and you can hear the same guy going, "Wahoo, yeah!" That you first heard when you first arrived in Mos Deep City. Any pit stops before you go to reunite with Jim Lee in front of the gym?
Do I hear anything from Brandon or Delaney?
You do not have a new message from them, and you don't see where they are. The message hadn't been sent out too long ago. But you can probably assume that it was, if they're around, it was successfully delivered. It's just you haven't received a response yet. The Paco will navigate to where Jim Lee said that they would meet in front of the gym. But lo and behold, there are some friends. There is Jim Lee Lodestone, Gimli's son. He is also dressed in some kind of vacation-y kind of apparel. Not quite as swanky as what you all decided to put on, but something casual and comfortable. He is joined by TMF, who is still donned in like full plate armor. No one has really seen much of this guy's face, but he's just hanging around. Champion Red is present as well, talking to Jim Lee and TMF about something. Tate and Liza are talking to citizens who are coming by. They're clearly not running the gym right now, but they're having some casual conversation. Nothing seems too heated. Notably, Brandon, Delaney, Archie, and Maxie are not present. They were some folks who've been hanging around in this area during the time of the calamity, but they are not here. I think the last person in this group who is of significance is Stephen Stone, who is just hanging around. He is holding a handkerchief or a cloth of some sort, and he is wiping down his Metagross. Jim Lee will notice you all and break away from the conversation with Red and TMF and will run up and approach you, and he will ask how you are all doing. Specifically more to his father. He'll check in. How are you doing, Dad?
Doing better, son. Well rested. Ready to go.
Very good. We couldn't wait to catch up with you and make sure you were all right. Seems like you're all in good spirits. That's good. Not to rush you or urge you into anything, but your buddy that you made yesterday, Uranus, he took off a little while ago. We went to check in with our cop friends, but he was looking forward to having a conversation with you all. So if we hang around for just a little bit, maybe he'll come back. Or you're welcome to go down to the Mos Deep police station yourself and see if you can catch him.
I have business there.
Okay. Jim Lee we can see if we can catch him.
Yeah, Jim Lee will say, very well. Go find him. Nothing's needed of you guys right now. Please enjoy this day to just rest and catch up and do what you need to do. And enjoy Mos Deep. Hoenn's beautiful. Hope you have a great time, and let us know if you need anything. With that, I guess then the party's going to go to the cops, huh?
Hell yeah.
Perfect.
Such a good track record with them.
It's cop time. Hey, man. We have a confusing track record.
You have a confusing track record with them.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think the rest of us, it's been pretty negative.
Yeah, there's a little Mos Deep kind of in the center of town. There's a hub of some sort. It says MPD. You could assume that's Mos Deep Police Department. A quaint building, but not quite as quaint as Duford. It's clearly got a bit more capacity to it. There is our canine who is sitting around outside that is leashed to a pole of some sort. Seems to be awaiting duty. And you are welcome to enter. Do you all do so?
Yeah.
Okay. Greeted immediately, you see Brandon and Delaney. And they are having a hushed conversation as they are looking through some plexiglass. And on the other side of the plexiglass is none other than River and Beckett. They are in some sort of like containment cell that isn't necessarily jail, but like they're waiting around before they are transferred to jail, perhaps. And there are individuals, Mos Deep cops, who you have not met, who are having a conversation with them through the glass. They are wearing really tacky, iconic prison wear, which is the black and white stripe ensembles. It's quite funny. Brandon and Delaney will see you come in and give you a warm greeting. Notably, Brandon is a little shifty and avoiding eye contact with Elodie, but he has no problem meeting the eyes of Gimli, Cindy, or Schmidt. Or even Quacko, because Quacko is also out and about. Delaney will say, glad you can make it. How are you all feeling?
Excellent.
Delaney says, that's great to hear. Cindy, I did receive your note. What was it that you want to address with us?
So I am in possession of one of my father's Pokemon.
Delaney will say, yes, he's made that quite clear, that it seems that his good-for-nothing daughter has procured something that is rightfully his and his
good
brother's.
Good-for-nothing.
God damn.
Ha ha! Ha! Okay.
On the topic of that, Cindy, it is in your possession now, and it puts you in a unique position. The Ultra Ball that you possess that belonged to your father, we understand is in possession of quite a powerful Pokemon. As far as, like, morality or intended use. I think Hoenn is in kind of a desperate situation, and we trust you and your friends. You've done several heroic acts just for us alone, not to mention the other residents of Hoenn. However you see fit to use that creature, we will back you. However, when it comes to more, let's say, official elements of that Pokemon belonging to your father's Pokeball, to conduct a legitimate transfer, they will have to make a decision in their case, which might be a little timely, might take some time. Unless you can somehow convince your father to relinquish rights before then, somehow. But based on his temperament and attitude, that seems unlikely.
Can I talk to him?
You're more than welcome to. Delaney will hold a hand up as if asking you to wait a moment. And then she will close a door that leads to that chamber where the plexiglass is, where they're talking to your parents. And then the cops who are talking to them inside, the Mossy cops, will step outside. And then Delaney will invite you and anyone else who wants to come in to come in to this chamber. This chamber is a weird way to describe it. This room that is separated, divided by transparent glass that has one of those classic circular like talk pieces in the middle of the glass. Does everyone want to participate in this conversation, or do you want to keep it private, Cindy?
I mean, I'm not going to stop anybody from joining me, but like, if they're like, yeah, we'll hang out here, like, that's also fine.
Okay. You can enter and anyone else can follow through. And it's clear that Delaney will be staying in the room and Brandon will be staying outside. Delaney will invite you in, no one will follow, and Delaney will close the door. It is just Delaney and Cindy in this room on this side of the glass, and then River and Beckett are on the other side, your parents. They seem a little worn out, they seem a little distressed, they seem a little apathetic. River is walking around pacing, she has a slight limp, and Beckett is sitting in what looks to be a fairly uncomfortable kind of swiveling chair, almost more of a stool, and he's just spinning around kind of impatiently. It doesn't even seem that he's recognized that you are here.
Hello.
This will capture the attention of both River and Beckett. River will look to the glass and kind of squint because you're kind of far away and there's a glare on their side. And then she'll just kind of shake her head and keep kind of like pacing around and limping. And Beckett will lean up close to the glass and kind of sneer. And he's like, Cindy, how nice of you to pay us a visit. What is my adventurous, charming, beautiful daughter doing here in Moss Deep talking to me while I am detained?
Let me make one thing abundantly clear. The only reason you're still alive is because I pulled your ass out of the ocean. Out of the goodness of my heart.
Maybe. Your mom and I have gone on quite some expeditions in the deep ocean. We probably would have washed up shore, would have been just fine. River, while she's pacing, she'll kind of tilt her head to the side as she's like seems to be twitching, and just a whole bunch of water will just like dump out of her ear, and then she'll go back upright and she'll keep fidgeting and pacing around. Beckett will ask, so did you come here just to scold me or to ask for me to thank you for saving us? What's your deal?
As you are well aware, I have Kyogre.
Beckett will let out a sigh and he will say, that you do. What's your plan for that beast anyway?
Well, you have two options. You can trade him to me, so he'll be officially mine. Or I'm going to release him back into the ocean while you guys rot in jail.
Roll charisma. Intimidation, potentially.
Okay, plus 3. Not too bad, not too bad. 8?
Okay. Beckett will kind of look at you, consider what you said, spin around in his whirly chair, and gesture to his wife to kind of come here, and they need to have a conversation. They're going to whisper to each other back and forth, and then Beckett will spin around, and River will stand and try and look at you through the glass. And Beckett will say, go ahead and release it. We'll just go catch it again.
Maybe I could come to my great friend, Archie. He seems to have an affinity for a Kyogre.
Beckett will laugh out loud. He'll say, that old Duff abandoned our whole mission ages ago, years ago. He's not going to want anything to do with that fish.
He was out there trying to wrestle him when you guys released him on the world.
River will say, I didn't see him. That didn't happen. I always know when Archie's around. I didn't see a single lick of him.
Yeah, you were a little preoccupied, weren't you?
I want you to roll that, but I don't know what it is. Just roll a d20. Just roll a d20.
Okay. A 2. This is going so poorly.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Your mom pulls something that it maybe, while there isn't a lot of love shared between your parents to you, there is some sort of familial ensemble happening, because as you say that, she tugs on one of her cheeks to roll down her eyelid a little bit, and she sticks out her tongue at you in a very childlike Cindy fashion.
Is there, like, a paper slot through the glass
there is,
thing, or
yeah.
No?
Yeah, you can send small parcels through it.
Excellent. I have the photo of them.
Okay.
In my possession?
Yes, you do. From the locker from the magma hideout.
Mm-hmm. It's like, while I've been traveling across Hoenn, I came across this, and I'll just slide it in.
Very good. Yeah. Do you have a description for that and like what it looks like and what's going on in the picture?
I just have in my notes, picture of parents.
Yeah. That's more or less what it is. Yeah.
And in their aqua, I'm assuming it's in their aqua uniforms. And
correct.
It's just a photo of the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just kind of in a gentle embrace and they're taking a photo together. Beckett, both River and Beckett take a look at it, and Beckett says, is this some sort of blackmail? Are you trying to leverage us with this picture? We have copies of this.
Blackmail. I just thought you might like to have it since the prison probably took everything else you have on you.
Beckett will slide it back under the glass and he'll say, we got plenty of these. You can keep it. Something to remember us by.
Why do I hate them? I'm not persuasive. Chat, help.
Come on, chat.
Intimidate or violence?
I can't completely threaten violence with the police here.
Oh, no, you can.
Yeah.
Grace has a suggestion.
Yes. I mean, it's not super persuasive. I just feel like if you want to, you should rip up the picture. Like, okay. Symbolically.
Like, oh, you don't need it then? Cool. Tear it up.
Okay. If that is what you do, you don't need to make a roll for that. I think they will have a quiet roll for it, though, as they are making a save currently. Okay. Yeah, you do that. Beckett gives out, like, a sneer, and he chuckles, like, as if he never wanted it anyway. You see a swipe, like, a very slight tinge of sadness in your mother's face, and then she turns around because she doesn't dare to show you any sign of weakness. Delaney will kind of check in and be like, do you need anything? Like, do you need me to ask them something? Is there any way I can help you?
I think I'm good. So Delaney, before we went in here, Delaney said that like they can basically override my parents' permission to give me Kyogre or whatever, but it could take a couple days.
Basically, long story short, you will have custody of the Pokemon as you literally do, and no one has any problem with that. There is kind of a stirring, like a little grassroots, perhaps, idea that there are some citizens of Hoenn who think it's wrong that Kyogre is captured. But there's also an opinion that it's like, well, if anyone is going to have Kyogre, it should be someone who's here to save us, you know? As far as like the specifics of actually like controlling and using Kyogre, it does, like, the way that Pokeballs work is, the word I'm looking for doesn't arrive, but contractually is Beckett's Pokemon. That doesn't prevent you from using Kyogre, but it may be less effective if it's not receiving.
Yeah, I saw the notes. Right.
So to make that happen, it has to be conducted, like, either it has to be traded or, like, released, relinquished via an official process that utilizes, like, a Pokemon Center thing. And while your parents are criminals and they are detained, it's one of the most, like, respected legal practices of, like, consent in this process. And if the individual can't be there, like, for example, like, for Vince Winstraight, then it's, like, the immediate family makes that decision whether it is relinquished or traded. And while criminals can often have their Pokemon taken away from them, that is a very timely thing that can take weeks or even months.
Okay. Be able to like lean into that and like not lie, but like flub the timeline a little bit.
Okay.
Like basically say it's like, well, if you don't trade Kyogre to me now, that's fine. Because in a matter of time, could be days, maybe a week, I'll be in custody of your Pokemon anyway, legally through like the police. Except I say it more eloquently.
Yeah, no, you've made a great point. Roll intimidation.
8.
Another 8.
Another 8.
We like rolling these 8s. Again, they are seemingly not particularly perturbed. River is not particularly corresponding with you, and Beckett says, listen, you threatened us before. I really don't care what you're saying. Like, we're just going to have to be stuck in this prison system for a while, and then eventually they'll let us out, and eventually we'll just get Kyogre back.
You're safer in prison than out of prison.
Roll one more intimidation, please.
17.
17! Way better! Cindy accesses the fire that is distinct from her parents' aquatic tendencies. And they feel it. This is, for the first time, they both look a little shook. And Beckett is left speechless and his jaw is slightly agape and he doesn't know how to respond. And he takes a moment and he stammers and he says, just get out of here. It's clear you're not going to do anything for us anyway. Just leave.
What would you have wanted me to do for you?
Nothing. You haven't been able to do anything for us ever. There's a reason we left you with your grandparents.
I will burn everything you love. And I just walk out.
Perfect. You don't even need to roll intimidation for that. That is a message that is well portrayed and well received. Delaney will escort you out. The MPD will usher back in. I guess I'll check in the meantime. Some simultaneous gaming. Schmidt, Gimli, Elodie, standing around awkwardly with Brandon outside of the interrogation room. Do you make any small talk? You're just kind of hanging around? What's going on? Brandon will do...
Schmidt know Brandon?
I think Schmidt was like hospitalized for like that whole thing, right? Yeah. He was getting his arm replaced, so I don't think Schmidt knows Brandon. Yeah, Brandon.
He's gonna make like awkward like greetings of like, hey, my name's Schmidt, and he's gonna like reach out for a handshake.
Perfect, yeah. That's a cool bit. Which arm does Schmidt handshake with?
The non-threatening one.
Was that his, which one is which? I always forget.
That was his right one.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so the handshake does work in traditional sense. Yeah, he'll reach out and give you a nice firm handshake. Let's roll for handshake, as we always do. He got a 12.
Should we get a 4?
Okay, yeah. No particular notes on this handshake. He was trying to gauge like how much of a grip that you wanted to use. And like, is he that kind of tough guy who like needs a really firm handshake? And like, but he's a cop, so he's surrounded by that mentality kind of. So he goes a little too firm. Mm-hmm. And he didn't realize that you were just trying to give an earnest, genuine person-to-person handshake. And he feels a little embarrassed by it. But he introduces himself. He says, "I am Brandon. I'm from Dufresne. I don't think we met, but I've seen your feats. I've seen what you can do. Pretty cool stuff."
Thanks.
Yeah. So glad you guys are all okay.
They just kind of awkwardly stand around for a second.
Perfect. It is awkward. It is.
I was like, so are you from around here? Or?
Yeah, he'll say, actually, came from Duford. Delaney and I just came over here because there's not really a whole lot going on in Duford right now. And
Duford.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you come here often.
I heard about that.
He's creeping on my man.
So you come here often?
Yeah, does anyone else join the conversation, or are we gonna let Schmidt and Brandon continue to small talk? Either is fine.
He's kind of like, after every word that's said, there's just like an awkward silence that hangs.
Yeah
Before, like, the next person says something, so there's plenty of time to butt in.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say to Brandon, I don't know if you got my letter, but we really appreciate you taking care of these nuts.
Oh, God, I could not laugh. Yeah. Sorry, is that your whole statement?
Yeah, that's the whole statement.
Okay, roll, I don't know, I guess charisma. Like, I don't really know.
Okay.
Give me a roll.
Schmidt's going to look at Gimli, like, kind of sensing the tension and be like, do I need to be here? Do I need to go? I think I'm just going to go. And he'll, like, excuse himself from that conversation.
That was a natural 2 to a 7.
Oh, wow.
I'm so bad.
No, it's fine. You're fine. Don't worry. It's the charisma caster getting a 2.
Right.
Anywho, yeah, Brandon will just kind of, like, shift awkwardly. He, like, pans to you a little bit, but, like, he doesn't face his body to you, like, fully. He's, like, cheating at the side. He says, oh, yeah, I got your letter. Thank you. Yeah, no problem. It's a nice boat. I'm surprised that it didn't take much damage from the incident, but, you know, when you guys came to town, it did took quite a bit of damage, but it's in pretty good shape. If you ever come back to Duford, it'll be there for you. You guys own that boat, really, right? That, like, all that damage, that's not, like, on a rental.
No, we rented it. No, we rented that bitch.
We rented that boat. Yeah.
Brandon will say, well, I mean, it still works, but it's gonna be a kind of, it's got some parts that don't quite match anymore, so you might have to explain that. Or maybe they just don't notice. Maybe you get lucky. Who knows? Or maybe you just tell them that you are heroes, and then they give you the hero discount.
You think we're heroes?
Oh. Do we leave a deposit? Do you think we'll get our deposit back?
Two questions, both of different weights from Brandon. He's going to make a roll to see how he reacts. Okay, yeah. Elodie asked that question. He looks at Elodie. He turns beet red. He is blushing. He looks around and he says, well, you know, I came into the force because I wanted to make a difference, and then I see adventurers like you guys, and you just remind me that, you know, you're never too old to be an adventurer, and you go and save the world multiple times doing all the stuff, and it's really impressive. That's all I have to say. And he pans quickly, still embarrassed, to answer Schmidt's question.
Schmidt like and stops him before he says anything. He then just starts slinking back, and he's like, "I'm not in this conversation. I'm out of here."
He will.
Y'all do what y'all do. I'm gone. I'm gone. Just ignore me. I'm not here.
He is desperate to like not look at Elodie anymore, so he's just gonna shout as you're leaving, like, "You might get your deposit back if you ask really nicely." And then he'll turn and look at Gimli and just give an awkward wave.
I just also like shift out of the conversation. Like, this is not, I'm not getting you out of this one, but
okay.
Hey Gimli, you want to go check out what's going on outside?
Oh, yeah, let's just check out outside over here. Outside,
yeah. Oh no. Brandon, shy and embarrassed, not really looking at Elodie, just kind of tapping his foot, waiting. He looks at his wrist where a watch would be if he wore one, and then he says, "Gosh, what do you think they're talking about? When do you think they're going to leave?"
Yeah, I mean, Cindy's probably threatening them, but, you know, they did some pretty fucked up stuff to her, so I think it's definitely warranted. I don't know. She's usually pretty quick about things, so it shouldn't be too long.
Oh yeah, I'm really big on justice. If Cindy wanted to say some things that got them in the right mindset to stop this life of crime, then I'd be all for that. I would be all for that. He is clearly feeling a little awkward. If you don't have anything else to say to him, we can usher Cindy exiting the Inquisitor chamber if you wish.
I will say one more thing.
Okay.
Which is that I think, you know, you and Delaney are kind of heroes too for stepping up and trying to help the people of Mos Deep after what happened in Dooford and in Dooford as well. Honestly, I think you guys are paragons of justice, and that's really cool.
Wow. Roll a perception.
A perception? I needed a new dice.
Make sure you tuck one of your hairs behind your ear when you say that and look down a little bit.
And point your toes in.
Like flutter your eyelashes.
Yeah. Gotta put the moves on him. You gotta put the moves on him.
12?
Perfect. I wanted 11. You can hear Brandon's heartbeat from where you're standing. Thum, 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 thum. From what you just called him a paragon of justice, and that's like his whole fantasy. So and then immediately as he's about to say something to you, Delaney opens the door and Delaney and Cindy exits, and Cindy looks a little fumed for sure. With your perception, you also notice that there's little scraps of photograph on the ground from where they are coming out from. Cindy has joined the conversation. Do you have anything to say, Cindy?
Hey, you two should kiss.
God.
Brandon is very, like, he's frozen in fear.
Oh,
Damn, dude. Oh, hey, Cindy, we're checking out this cool thing outside. Why don't you come outside with us? And then Schmidt starts, like, pointing at clouds. He's like, you think that cloud looks more like a Voltorb or an Electrode?
I think after dropping that banger line, Cindy's going to be like, finger guns and like, dip.
Very good. I guess
that's so funny.
The question is in the player's agency. It's in Elodie's court. Do you want to kiss Brandon?
What is he doing? What was his reaction?
Like, he... roll insight.
17?
He likes you. But he's nervous and shy about it, and he's still a little distrusting because of the whole Sarah thing.
Right. That's fair. If it seems like that's okay with him, I will give him a kiss on the cheek.
Perfect. Yes, there is consent there. Roll charisma with advantage.
Yippee!
Oh my god, you're rizzing him up.
I'm rizzing him up, baby! That's an 18.
Perfect. Elodie gives him a little smooch, and as her lips connect, a visible little cartoon heart emerges and whoop, and just floats into the sky, just really briefly. And he is redder than ever before, and he shifts, and he realizes that his boss, Delaney, is here, and he looks at her, and he asks, how did it go? Is there anything I can do for you? Do you need any reports written? And he is very appreciative, and you can tell in his eyes that he thought that was a very sweet gesture.
Okay, I will say, see you later, and then I will leave.
Okay. As you leave, Delaney will kind of give you a funny look and then begin like issuing really basic report details to Brandon. Very good. You go outside and you see Schmidt and Cindy and Gimli looking at the sky. What are they doing?
They were not looking at the sky at all. They all had their ears to the door.
Oh, okay.
They were trying to eavesdrop on this conversation.
Okay, in that case, all three of you make me a dex save, please. DC 12.
Oh, fuck yeah. Nat 20, baby. Schmidt is stealthy as shit.
Four.
Eight.
Okay, Schmidt, with his honed reflexes from his draconid ancestors, as the door begins to jostle whatsoever, he like tucks into a dive and his cloak goes over his head and he rolls and dips and dashes away and he's gone. He's like absolutely could be anywhere at the moment. Cindy and Gimli just fall forward as the door swings open inwards. They fall on their heads as Elodie opens the door. Elodie, are you going to help them up?
Yeah, I'll shake my heads at them and then I'll help them up.
Okay, very good. Schmidt, I just wanted to give you some flavor for your crit. You can be wherever you want, or you can be in the Shadow Realm. That's fine.
Is there like an awning above the door?
Yeah, there is.
I think he'd be like hanging out above the door.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, in like a split second, he managed to hoist his way up on top of the awning that hangs over. It's where the sign is that says MPD, and no one notices you. Like, no one knows you are there. All anyone knows is that you've disappeared. Do you do anything from this vantage point?
Hey.
He'll spy for a minute, and then like... he'll wait for a moment to chime in.
Okay.
I'll be like, where'd Schmidt go?
I don't know. He was literally just here.
Huh, weird.
Weird.
Probably has something to do, you know.
Schmidt's head pops out from under the awning. He's like, yeah, that's super weird.
Oh, what the fuck?
Oh, God. As this happens, who turns the corner to address the party? None other than former Neo-Rocket Galactic admin Uranus. He spins around from the side of the building. He sees Schmidt hanging from the top, and he says, that's not unusual. Hey, Paco, how'd you all sleep?
Excellent.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. don't mind her.
He will hold up his hand in kind of an affirmation-style way, and he says, I know we talked briefly yesterday during all the calamity, but I wanted to reiterate that at this time and forevermore, we are not enemies. We have a common goal, and I'm here to help you however you see fit. All that being said, I think it might be a good idea if we find some place to sit down and have a chat. What do you guys think?
Schmidt jumps from off the roof. And his face is like, Schmidt has gone from like joking, playful, whatever. Like, Schmidt is dead serious now. Mm. He looks, he's like, yeah, I think we do need to have a chat.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I just threatened my parents with physical violence.
we're all having a very different day.
Yeah.
Despite spending it all together.
Yuri will say, very well. Where would you like to go? We could hang out on the rocky beach, unless you guys know like a good social place to hang out in Mos Deep City, or we could just hang around. We could probably use the police station. What do you think?
There is
I've heard
Mimosas.
Mr. Mimosas is bumping.
Yeah, there is Mimosas.
Yuri will be like, you know, I could probably go for a Mimosa. Sure, let's go. Let's go check it out. Is everyone in on Mimosas round four? Is it round
four?
Is it round four? I think this is only the third time we've been to one.
Might be three. Oh yeah, Mr. Mimosa's round three.
Keeping this place open though.
No, it seems Mr. Mimosa's, despite being pretty close to the Space Center, didn't sustain any serious damage, and the mimes are in there. They're working it up. They're mimosa-ing away. It is fairly busy. It's just about as busy as it was the day before, despite much more people being in town. You don't recognize any particular citizens who you saw before when you were in here, and there's seems like a perfectly set up table for the lot of you to sit and discuss, or you could all sit at a relatively open mimosa bar. What is your selection?
I feel like a table makes the most sense since we're having a conversation.
Like a booth on the corner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. We can say there's a booth. The mimosas is generally kind of pink and orange themed because Mr. Mime is pink and mimosas are orange. And so you find yourself in a booth that has those kind of ridiculous, obscene colors that would be very clashing if there wasn't also so much white present in the theming, which instead gives it kind of a candy pop kind of fun vibe. You all slide into the booth. This is a very important question. There are five of you. What is our seating arrangement? Yuri will always be on the outside. How are we splitting up? 3-2, 4-1?
However Yuri sits, Schmidt is directly opposite from him.
Okay, cool. Does anyone want the wall? Or I guess window?
I'll take the window seat.
Okay.
Cindy could take the other window seat, across from Melody.
Perfect. And then I guess that begs the question, Schmidt or Gimli, which you guys could all get on the Elodie side or the Cindy side. I just want the visual here.
Yeah, I'll sit on the Cindy side.
Sorry. Okay, great. Schmidt. And you want to be across from Yuri, so wherever he plops, right?
Yep.
Yuri's more familiar.
I want to be looking him down, straight down.
Perfect. Yuri knows Gimli the best out of you, which isn't saying much, but he was both obliterated by Gimli and was the first person he talked to after, you know, the incident. So he'll slide in next to Gimli, and he will, and then Schmidt will sit next to Elodie in the booth. A Mr. Mime will walk up and do a very elaborate kind of miming of basically asking the question with his fingers, how many mimosas would you like to order?
Schmidt, like, is still, like, not, like, his eyes never leave Yuri. Like, he is staring this motherfucker down.
Uh-huh.
And he'll just say, like, just water for me.
Oh.
Goddamn. Stone cold sober.
Serious mode.
Didn't get enough water.
Cindy
yesterday.
Attempts to order a mimosa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, roll me a deception.
She can have a mimosa as a treat.
Well, she's still deception,
you say?
Yes.
It's a plus
Schmidt normally would
eight.
Say no, but he is too focused to stop.
What did you get?
If I'm counting correctly, a 26.
Oh, geez, yeah. Mr. Mime doesn't question it at all. Elodie, Gimli?
Yeah, I'll have a mimosa and an order of those Oricorio pancakes as well, please.
Of course. He doesn't say that, but he nods.
Oh, pancakes sound great.
Okay, yeah. Oricorio pancakes.
I'll just have a water, though.
Mr. Mime will collect all this information. He will mind that he's writing it down in a notebook that he does not actually have. And then he will strut away and hopefully bring those mimosas soon.
Do they have disco fries? Sorry.
Probably. Would you like to order some?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Mime will collect the order of unique Hoenian poutine-style fries. And we'll bring those out in a moment. But before then, Yuri will sit down. He notices the relentless gaze from Schmidt, but he will kind of try and address everyone equally. He will say, I've talked to Gimli a little bit already, but the long and the short of it is I can help you all. I have lots of NRG insider information. I have a feeling, pretty clear idea of what they're going to be doing for their final ambition, and I want to help you all prepare for that. And in exchange, Gimli mentioned that he would do my best to help me get my Basque Legion back. Just as a sign of trust, and before we could dive into any conversations, I want to know, does anyone have any kind of immediate questions for me about myself or about energy that I can use to prove my loyalty to you all?
Tell me everything you know about Artemis.
Ooh, interesting.
And Schmidt will, like, flash his gun a little bit, too. He'll be like, choose your next words carefully.
Holy shit.
Oh, no.
Use intimidation, please.
Oh, my God. Schmidt has a 0 modifier in charisma, but he rolled an 18.
Okay, that sounds about right for the canon. Yeah, Yuri was not... He was expecting some hostility, but maybe not, like, the threat of his life in this way. And he will start to, like, put his hands up a little cautiously off the table, but then he realizes he's in public and he doesn't need to do that. So he clears his throat and he says, okay, yeah, Artemis, big boss, where do we start? Well, I was recruited from Galactic back when Galactic was Galactic, before we sought our initial ambition and our leader Cyrus was brought to another universe. Theoretically, I believe, and many other former Galactic operatives believe, that the universe that he arrived in has been created to become the perfect universe, and the goal of NRG now is using the resources from Team Rocket to make that universe the same as the one that we exist in. There's no way to prove this, because clearly we don't get in touch with Cyrus. We don't know what's going on with Cyrus. Anyways, I bring that up because shortly after Cyrus was lost to this other universe, a young girl by the name of Artemis started coming around and hanging out with our boss. Our boss at the time was none other than Giovanni, the original head honcho of Team Rocket. Apparently, before Cyrus had committed his mission, Cyrus and Giovanni had some talks, and they decided that regardless of what happened, that they would work together to see Cyrus's plan to fruition using Giovanni's immense resources from Kanto. Giovanni would take Artemis around, I guess, as some sort of parenting. I understand that he wasn't her real father, but that rather he adopted her. And Giovanni had a boy, too, but he was a little more unruly. He was more rebellious and a little bit older. I don't believe that they were actually related. I believe that the boy was his child and Artemis was his adopted child, but that doesn't really make a difference in the context here. Giovanni would take Artemis around. She seemed pretty innocent. She liked to talk to the Pokemon that were being experimented on. It seems that, like, she brought some good spirits to the scientific work that was happening. That was, frankly, in hindsight, in retrospect, pretty evil, pretty disastrous, pretty demented. And for a while, she just kind of grew up in that environment. Later on, eventually, later down the line, when she became working age, Giovanni helped her get some pretty good jobs. I understand she was working for Silphco for a while, and they arranged this secret deal where Silphco would provide technology support and hardware to Rocket, and then in exchange to Neo Rocket Galactic. A lot of cheap funding for equipment and manufacturing came from Silphco, and that was partially because of Artemis's job position that she obtained with Giovanni's help. She worked an honest job at the time. She wasn't involved in Neo Rocket Galactic when she was working at Silphco at all. But she did keep a Pokemon with her. No one knew any specifics about it. Maybe you guys know more. There was a Pokemon that she had abducted from the laboratory, the NRG laboratory. She received some sort of scolding from Giovanni about it, but at the end of the day, he decided to let her keep it, which was a little unusual. Anyways, moving on from there, unfortunately, one day Giovanni passed. There's a lot of rumors about what caused this. Some fanatics at NRG, some of the lower grunts, believe that he was assassinated. Some believe that one of his children did it. I don't have any particular leads on that, but what I do know happened is that in his will, he elected his adopted daughter, Artemis, to become the new commander. She became so only a matter of months ago, and since then, she's been running Neo Rocket Galactic. I'm not sure what else to say about that. She's a pretty good leader. Some people don't fully trust her judgment. Some people think that she has some ulterior motives. Honestly, she kind of just let the admins like do our job. She never interfered much. She's a little dodgy. Sometimes she can be like hard to sit down with. But for all I know, she respects Giovanni's ambitions, and the jobs are happening, so can't really report on anything else other than that. Do you have specific questions for me regarding Commander Artemis?
When is the last time you've heard from her?
He will think and he will say, the last time I heard from her was during the mission to siege Mossdeep, clearly. The last time I saw her in person was probably, gosh, a month ago? I've been receiving missives and notes from her, and we had been talking over digital communications, but I don't think I've seen her in person in quite a while.
Artemis Symmetra?
Yeah, honey.
Keep up.
I'm asking that as Cindy because Cindy would be finally putting this together.
What?
Like, just like, I feel wait like
that
a second.
Was really in character, though. All of us just like, yes.
Yeah, obviously.
As everyone affirms Cindy's revelation, Mr. Mime comes by with all the mimosas and the waters and the fries and the pancakes for everyone who ordered them. It will interrupt the conversation for sure. Thankfully, Yuri was like at a cadence, but no one will speak unless you guys want to when the mime is dropping stuff off, because what Yuri's discussing is a little private, a little confidential. Does anyone say anything to the mime?
Thank you.
Okay.
Dunsparce and Drampa and the Quacko Paco do not support underage drinking. Please abide by the laws in your country.
Very good. Thank you. That's very important.
Very good. Very good. Good disclaimer. Yes,
Schmidt
guys.
Looks at the camera and says that.
Hey, who are you talking to?
While I play a character who is 15, I am an adult.
It's true. Anyways.
What are they talking about? who are they talking to?
So Uranus has been like looking around while he tells everything he knows about Artemis to everyone at the table. But as he ends, he looks at Schmidt and he's like, asks, is there anything else I can provide for you regarding Artemis?
What would Schmidt say? He would kind of just turn back to his friends and be like, so we know nothing more about her. We still don't know if she's alive.
We've seen Kaz,
We saw that vision from Mewtwo, and she was alive in that vision.
Was she? We saw it from her perspective, right? And the message that we heard yesterday...
Should we explain to Yuri that she got shot in the face?
Does Yuri know?
So, who you know as Artemis, we knew as Symmetra, and she was with us in Meteor Falls when Deoxys came down, and she got her fucking ass blasted by a meteor.
Well, it was her face.
It was her face.
Her face. But
same yes. idea.
This is news to Yuri. He was like kind of listening, like he understood, okay, she had a code name, sure, whatever. He keeps listening. And the thing that really gets him is Deoxys. He says, what about Deoxys? He doesn't even care about Symmetra at this point. He says,
we should probably not have said that.
we fucking beat Deoxys. It's fine. You don't have to worry about it.
We were told to tell nobody about this, and we've probably told so many people.
Like the rock I keep in my backpack.
Oh my god!
We've told everybody.
No. We're not telling Yuri about that now.
Oh my god.
I think he already knows. I think
he already knows. You know about my rock?
Oh god.
I think that's why he...
So much for Yuri to respond to here. Yuri will be a little taken aback about Deoxys, but he'll try to move past it. He'll say, I had no idea that Artemis was injured. That surprises me. It seems like she's been commanding perfectly fine for quite some time, ever since she took over. Nothing seems to have particularly changed, except I haven't seen much of her. But maybe that has something to do with what you've described, is that she sustained a significant injury.
Right. Where are you getting orders from exactly?
Yuri will say, well, sometimes we get missives in a digital format, like a email communication. Sometimes we receive a call. We have communication pagers that we all wore while we were on our work sites and at the mothership. But now that you say it, yeah, I haven't seen her face in a while.
Do they know that you have turncoated?
Yuri will take a sip of a mimosa and he'll lean back a bit. He'll kind of sink into the booth a bit and he'll say, it's probably pretty clear. I mean, they expected me on the shuttle. I didn't go on. So I think they understand that I've abandoned my post. I have a feeling,
Do you have your pager?
Yuri will say, I do. And he'll pull it out of his pocket. It's like a little, like, something that's supposed to be strapped onto, like, your wrist or your arm or something. And he puts it on the table and he says, unfortunately, in the calamity of what happened last night, it's been damaged. And you can see that it seems to be non-functioning.
Gotcha. Frick. I was going to start trolling.
It was probably good to try to get information first, but...
Yeah.
Fair.
Oh. Oh no, trolling is the right approach to this situation.
Oh,
he's gonna
wait,
do a little hee hee ha ha.
Did Yuri get my letter?
Oh god. We're sorry about that.
I'm not.
Yuri says, you'd actually be surprised how much kind of, to use your word, troll mail that our team has received. It didn't go straight to me. It gets filtered through like a mail, like, you know, it has to sort through to see if there's any like weapons or bombs or other things being sent to us. And so I think someone probably picked it up, and most things get read before I even received them. So I got a note that I got a nasty piece of mail, but I didn't hear anything else about that. So thank you for telling me that was you, I guess.
Damn it.
To answer your other question, yes, we are fully aware of your possession of the Atlas Stone. We knew that Artemis was also keenly aware of it as well. We would be asking for more information, such as, you know, what's our next plan of action to obtain this? We've had several attempts and they haven't succeeded. Why are we being so stealthy about it? And Artemis always would just give the directive that she had a plan and that she knew what was happening. So we never challenged it. We never questioned it.
She was using it behind our backs.
Is that so? I guess that would explain where we got all of our random intel from her all of a sudden. She seemed to know the location of every artifact that we needed.
So what are you using those plates for?
Yuri will think for a second. He'll clear his throat. He'll take another sip of mimosa, and he'll say, well, back when Cyrus initially attempted this ambition to create a new perfect universe, we use the ancient histories, legends, mythical beings of Sinnoh to create a portal to another world, another universe, of which Cyrus entered and never came back. To do so, we had to use some ancient, powerful artifacts. We did so, and we created this tool known as the Red Chain. Using the Lake Spirits of Sinnoh, we sent Cyrus to this other world, and we have been unable to get him back. Our historians and theologians have been researching endlessly to find another way to retrieve Master Cyrus, and what they discovered was utilizing these rare artifacts known as plates. The assembly of them, or... you know, we were aiming to physically obtain all of them, but our scientists, namely Colress, have discovered ways to, what's the word, artificially create their power. So I keep saying we. I'm not with Neo Rocket Galactic anymore. By the time I left Neo Rocket Galactic, everyone in the team was confident that with the tools that we currently have, that we would be able to once again access this other universe, and the goal would be to retrieve Cyrus and create this universe to be the same as the one that Cyrus has created in his world.
I'm not gonna lie.
Can I?
That's really stupid.
Can I ask the DM if I need to make an insight check that is fair?
Yeah, that's absolutely fair.
Was that your mistake saying I'm not with Neil Arctic Galactic anymore? Or is that something I need to insight with Schmidt?
You could insight it. I was trying to roleplay for Yuri. You're welcome to insight it. That would be a great thing to insight.
If that's what Yuri said,
that is what Yuri
honestly
said.
Then that is, I definitely want to insight that.
Okay.
I want to see if this is a triple agent situation with the modifier that is 16.
16 is pretty good. Based on everything that Yuri's been telling you, all this intelligence that he's been sharing, it's pretty clear that his, like, he does not work for Neil Rocket Galactic, and he doesn't have the intention of working for them in the future. Like, his allegiances have been cut. His focus is his fish. His Basque Legion has been taken from him, despite the promise that it wouldn't be, and that upsets him. So that is why he's aiding you at this point.
Okay. People, I just needed to suss him out for myself.
No, we're good. That's fair. Yuri will catch Schmidt's discerning gaze and say, listen, it's a hard habit to break. I was with Neo Rocket Galactic the whole time, then I was with Galactic another 10 years before that. So I understand if you're a little concerned. I really just want my fish back.
All right.
Yuri will say, I know that's not all the details. I've been giving you quite a bit of information, but do you have any more specific questions? I can help answer some things for you before we get really into battle strategy.
Well, did you guys know that if you needed all the plates to generate whatever you were trying to generate?
Yuri says, well, originally that was the aim, that was the goal. And then, you know, a little bit into our operation, once Team Neo Rocket Galactic became public, it became observed that, one, some of these plates are being guarded by, we don't have words for them, but guardian Pokemon that are particularly difficult to defeat. And two, apparently some vigilantes that we came to know as the Quacko Paco began to collect them for themselves. In fact, they infiltrated our most primary mission after the Siege of Lilycove to obtain the Atlas Stone from an old witch, which was critical to the whole outline of the mission, which we immediately failed, but Artemis insisted was fine, so we continued on.
I was given the Atlas Stone. We didn't take it from anybody.
Yuri says, I will take note of that.
I'm trustworthy. The old witch trusted me, a child, over you.
Standard Pokemon stuff, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I was going to trust anybody, it would be
standard RPG stuff.
True.
Does Cindy be unhinged and ask about her parents? I mean, we got most of the information, but I think I just want to do it just for fun.
I think, yeah, that arc has already ended.
You can. It's up to you, Cindy. Do what you want.
I'll just see what Yuri knows, because maybe his interactions weren't or were different than other people's.
Sure. Yuri will say, oh, yeah, River and Beckett. Yeah, they must have been like the top three agents that we had the most write-ups for. They were always breaking dress code. They were always going off on their own missions. We would put them on assignment, and then they'd disappear for days. They were no strangers to the NRG discipline system. Maybe the most worthless recruits that NRG ever saw.
Yeah, why did you guys keep them? It doesn't make
sense.
That's
awesome.
Yuri says, there was a strange loophole with acquiring the Magma and Aqua Grunts. There was some sort of condition made. I wasn't part of that deal, unfortunately. But when Archie and Maxie dissolved their teams, Galactic kind of swooped in and made some arrangements. And I guess part of the deal was that if any former Aqua or Magma Grunts really wanted to be included, then that we would offer them work. That was really what it came down to.
Yeah, they are pretty useless, huh?
Yuri nods.
I told them I would burn everything they love.
Did they have anything they loved in?
That you know of? That I might not know of?
Yuri will say, well, they certainly loved each other, and they loved Kyogre. And I think that was about it.
Yeah, you're going to have a tough time burning Kyogre.
I think we know what you need to do, Cindy.
Burn them again?
Yes.
Probably.
I mean, this I did tell them that they were safer. Yeah, I did tell them they were safer in jail than out of jail. So I think they understood.
Yuri will ask. Any other questions about any NRG intel that you feel like might help you in stopping them once and for all?
What are the weak points on the blimps?
Yuri will say, honestly, they don't really have them. If they're in the air and you can't get on board, they're very difficult to take down. If they are stationed, if they are parked, or if you're able to get inside somehow, there's definitely some vulnerabilities. Really just the classic engineering room, just get to the engines, blow them up, blah, blah, blah. Be careful about who's inside, certainly. There are captives on all of them, but the most high security captives are on the main mothership, which is the Renegade.
Blowing up engines is easy.
Yuri says, yeah, surprisingly so, as he continues to drink his mimosa.
This is a general game plan.
Let's not blow engines up until we get our POWs out of there, you know?
Fine.
Good idea.
Don't just say fine. Your grandparents are one of those people.
Gimli's wife is in there.
Right. Like, we got some important people on there. Like,
I agreed.
Like a child would agree with a huff.
She is a child, so.
I know. But you think she would grow up a little bit at this point with all the shit she's been exposed to. Especially with her grandparents involved. That's crazy. Yeah, don't my grandparents on this blimp? Well, they're old anyway. Like, what are we doing?
They reached the end
didn't
of
have much
life.
Long anyways.
Yeah, they were. We're kind of checking out, so. God.
Yuri will ask one more time if any specific intel before he dives into the most critical parts of the final encounter.
Do we have any more loose ends with NRG? This is Jacob asking the group.
What's Rada's book club book this month?
Cindy would know that.
Give me a moment.
It's got to be one of those.
Okay.
Fucking...
No, he's got it. Yuri will say, what's funny is that I actually get those digital newsletters, but I don't actually participate in the club. Rada loves it. The one for this month is a story about two ruin maniacs who fall in love. It's called Unsafety Goggles.
Oh. I'm going to write that down. Check out at the library later. I know Schmidt, I don't think, has told the party about this, but just as a reminder to Jacob about Nick being in NRG, if he wants more intel about that.
I don't give a fuck about that guy.
Okay, fair enough. We also do have that notebook from the dead guy in the Reggie Rock.
Does it have any other stuff in it?
There was some notes that we didn't decode, I believe. But I'm trying to find it. Oh, here it is.
Oh, we could just, like, pull out the notebook.
Right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Artemis Protocol might have been the only thing, actually. And ABRA, A-B-R-A. Did we ever find out what that stands for?
I don't think so.
Do you want to review the notebook with Yuri?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He will take a look, and he'll look at each item one by one. Some of the things are a little mundane. There's that to-do list, which again says, train up Ninkeda, send secret love letter to Callisto, and Yuri will comment, oh yeah, all the grunts just fall in love with her. It's ridiculous. Something about the eye patch. Figure out how to involve Ninkeda, get some malasadas from Alola Mart, etc. He will continue reading, and he'll say, oh yeah, the Desert Ruins mission. I was really glad that I wasn't put in charge of that one. It seemed people kept disappearing. It seemed pretty mysterious. Didn't want any part of that. He'll keep reading. New uniform voting. Yeah, we decided to keep the classic uniforms. I think it was a mistake. I think there were some pretty cool looking options with a little bit more color. But, you know, Team NRG Grunts, Team NRG Grunts, I suppose. He will continue reading. He'll say, oh yeah, this describes you. You probably caught that. But redhead teenage girl, cocky Jotoan man, etc. That's Quacko Paco. There were misses on you guys. There was debriefs talking about if you weren't assigned to confront the Quacko Paco, then you shouldn't. And I think for the most part, everyone respected that. But yeah, you guys riled up quite a bit of grunts. They really wanted to take you down as like a sign of their competence and wanted to get a promotion. Let's see. Reported sightings. ABRA, yeah, so NRG employs these super powerful, like, Kolres has designed these fascinating experiments which all harness this phenomenon known as infinity energy, which is, in fact, critical to NRG's entire mission, and a lot of people believe that's how Cyrus and Giovanni even came up with the moniker NRG, because it was a pun for energy. Infinity energy is kind of what it comes down to with the Red Chain and the Atlas Stone, and everything revolves around infinity energy. All of these psychic type reconnaissance Pokemon were loaned from Giovanni from a long time ago, even pre-galactic. Giovanni had come into contact with the psychic plate. Psychic plate was pretty significant in the research and creation of Mewtwo in the first place. It was first in being held by the gym leader Sabrina, and Giovanni stole it. So all of our initial research about infinity energy started with psychic types. So for the longest time, we've had mostly psychic types at our disposal. That being said, Abras, Kadabras, and Alakazams were particularly assigned to reconnaissance. So we had those Pokemon conducting, just, you know, teleporting around, tracking our enemies, namely the Quacko Paco. Sometimes they're not incredibly distinct. Sometimes they'll teleport, and as they trigger their psychic abilities to record what they're watching, their eyes will glow red. And unfortunately, that's been something that, you know, the older models, we will say, the earlier experiments of those Pokemon was something that wasn't able to be filtered out. That was just a feature of those Pokemon. So that gives away their reconnaissance a bit. But if you ever felt like you're being watched or followed, it's probably an Abra or a Kadabra.
Motherfucker. That's probably
every single failed perception check.
Yeah. Schmidt actually caught a glimpse of... Didn't you say, yeah, like a yellow eared cat figure at Mimosa's? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's happened a couple times. Oh my god. Wow.
Continue reading, and he'll see that Artemis Protocol in the notebook is like scribbled and underlined and circled over and over again. And he says, yeah, Artemis Protocol. Given by Artemis, the instruction was to, regardless of mission assignments, procure as many ghost types as possible. This was a missive from Artemis that apparently came from Colress. Colress is our head scientist who's conducting all of our infinity energy research. Apparently, it's imperative to this final mission to reunite with Cyrus. I'm not certain of the specifics. You'd have to ask Colress about that, but I'm sure none of you know how to get a hold of him, do you?
Do we?
Above table, Jacob is looking at Grace.
Well, he is on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to say, oh, he's still there. The original plan was to just to harvest the artifact and then return to...
Harvest the artifact.
Yeah, harvest the artifact. Yeah, the fairy the plate. Pixie fairy plate, I believe, is
right,
the,
right.
Is the
right.
Mythological name.
For that's yeah, what we have.
Oh.
Cindy.
Yuri will that's raise so an loud. Eyebrow. Yuri will say, how did you do that?
I went to space in your stead, and I acquired it, and I may have left without them, and the ship may be so damaged that they may need to stay there for a year in order to get enough fuel to come back.
Yuri will take this information in. He'll say, wow, I had no idea. I'm just so glad I didn't end up on that rocket. I guess that the good news then is that if you have the artifact, maybe they will not demolition it. I mean, we'll see. Their first plan was to make the bomb. Did they successfully do that?
The bomb may have been destroyed by a roaming gang of Clefairies.
Yuri will say, now that I'm not in Neo Rocket Galactic, I think that's actually the better outcome. So, good work.
I agree.
There was a bomb on the rocket?
I believe so. Yes.
Yuri will clarify, not like a physical bomb that's ready to blow immediately. It was more of Chorus's mad research that discovered that encapsulated infinity energy can be channeled through a mechanism that can turn it into an incredibly explosive bomb. So rather than thinking if we had all one bomb on the ship itself, if you had successfully exploded the whole ship, it wouldn't have detonated the bomb, so to speak, because the infinity energy wasn't channeled through the machine. But the machine was to be built on the surface of the moon and then use the infinity energy to demolition it. However, we don't have to worry about that, so that's great.
Can we use, like, mission control here in Mos Deep to communicate with the spaceship?
Why would we need to?
Well, if we needed info from Colress, I guess he probably wouldn't be very forthcoming about it.
Yuri takes his head. He says, if you somehow sabotage his means of returning to the planet in time for the final mission, he will not give you any information.
That might have been me.
That's fair enough. It was definitely mostly Cindy's fault.
I used a lot of fire.
It was definitely almost certainly probably Cindy's fault that the ship ended up that way.
I used a lot of fire.
Fine. Yep, Cindy's fault. Absolutely.
Listen, I'll own up to my fire problem, my pyromaniac tendencies.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's all I have, I think.
He will say, before we dive into it, one more thing I thought I'd mention. I don't know if any of you would happen to know about this. There's a rumor going around NRG ranks that the day of this mission, Artemis's mother would be present, that she would come to Mos Deep to watch the launch. A little strange, because as far as we understood, that Artemis and her mother were fully estranged, in that her mother had a complete breakdown when Cyrus disappeared, and that we just aren't really sure of any of that activity, or that we would, you know, Anyways, she's not associated with anything, just we heard that perhaps her mother would be present. And did anyone happen to see anyone who might have resembled Artemis?
Did we keep the photo of the red-haired woman?
What photo? Huh?
We found a photo, like, on the battlefield.
Gimli.
Oh, I have that? We didn't put that in group inventory? I don't have it in my own inventory.
You were the only one who...
No,
you picked
it's
it
not
up.
There.
You picked it up.
Oh, I picked it. What? Okay.
Do you want to take a
I
look
think
at
that
it?
Was the most recent episode that just went out today.
Yeah, I think so. Do you want to take a look? It was torn. Do you want to take a look at the photo?
Yeah, we can pull it up.
Cool.
Ooh!
Oh.
Yuri will say, yeah, I mean, that looks like her. Yeah. Did you see that woman?
No, I just found this photo.
I
Have
want
we seen this one?
Schmidt.
Is that Mars, bro?
I want Schmidt to roll yeah. a history check with advantage.
Is she also Calvin's mom?
No shot. Calvin's so awesome. Mom is Mars, bro?
Damn.
Oh,
I was about to be like, yo, Cyrus slept with Mars, but they were pretty close in age because Cyrus is 27, bro.
Yeah.
He was 27.
Trying to create the one true perfect universe is a lot. Like, it does a lot to you.
Dude, that's all. Yeah. Like, Hobie looked 45. Like, I was just convinced he was 45.
I'm doing math. I'm sorry.
I just need a 10.
March.
I got a 9 on the die. Okay. I'm proficient, and my intelligence is a plus 2.
Okay. Schmidt, you did.
Math that 17?
Yes, that's plenty.
Okay.
You had a brief interaction with this woman. She.
What?
She looked a little bit older, notably older, 15 years or so older. It was kind of in the midst of all the hubbub and chaos. She was standing during the fight outside of the gym, and she was like looking at the shuttle, and she was looking at like the blimps, and she said, NRG, that's a fucking stupid name, don't you think? And you responded like, yeah, or something.
What the
dude,
fuck?
Dude, that was Mars? That's sick!
The fuck so hard.
That's so sick, bro. That's a stupid fucking name. You're so right, Mars.
It really, like, whizzed by in RP. It was, like, not, like, anything notable, but that did, in fact.
So happen. Sick.
And, yeah, Yuri will say, yeah, that looks like her.
So she could still be here.
Yuri will say, I guess, yeah. I mean, it was just rumors that she even came in the first place, but if you said you saw her, maybe.
We're going on a manhunt.
We have to fuck Sam's mom. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Oh, God.
All of us. We
Keep
all have
to. Timber.
God.
You guys
damn.
Are insane. What?
I said nothing.
Well, Yuri will say, okay, before the manhunt, let's just get to the important key points. In review, I'm helping you out because I don't have Bascule Legion. Bascule Legion was taken to me per Artemis protocol. I was promised that wouldn't happen. My fish is gone. You're going to help me get my fish back. NRG has identified a location in Hoenn with a strong connection between worlds. Originally, that was suspected to only be Mount Coronet. It is too much shame that I will say, Gimli, that your wife was instrumental in identifying this new location, which happens to be Evergrande City. There's a phenomenon called Alpha Resonance that allows worlds to communicate between each other, and we believe that the Alpha Resonance present in the mountain of Evergrande City will connect us to Cyrus. That is the final ambition. Their intention is to bring Cyrus back from this reverse world and fulfill Team Galactic's original dream of remaking the universe to make it perfect. In Cyrus's eyes, that was without conflict or emotion. Ghost types were needed to fabricate the spooky plate, as it is called, using the Artemis protocol, as well as call power from the reverse world itself to create the connection using ambient alpha resonance that is present in Evergrande City. The Arceus plates are needed to perform this ritual, the artifacts that you've been collecting and that NRG has been trying to obtain. NRG has been experimenting with infinity energy enough to fabricate plates that they don't currently have, which is why they are confident that they can launch this mission without all of them. Here is the most critical instruction. NRG is incredibly well fortified, as you know, and this will be their last stand. They will have all of their resources at their disposal, and even in the brief time that I have been removed from NRG, I fear that their numbers and power will increase even further. It is your job, and I will assist you in any way that I can, to gather your allies. From all the people that you've saved in Hoenn through all of your heroic acts, to backtrack and ask for their help, and obtain any boons that you can, any assistance, because God knows, Arceus knows, that we will need all the help that we can get. So, double-edged sword of this is, if you take too long, energy might have acquired enough resources to be truly unstoppable. Use your wisdom, use your abilities, make sure that you have everything you need to challenge them, but don't dilly-dally, don't take too much time. I know that among your ranks here are Archie, Maxie, and Steven Stone, let alone some gym leaders. The powerful man, I don't know his name, from the Sinnoh Iron Clan. You have many powerful trainers in your social circle. I would beg even, that you call upon them and gather them to assist in this final struggle to prevent our universes from colliding. With Yuri laying out the plans to prepare for the final assault at Evergrande City to stop NRG from destroying maybe the universe, that's where we will end the session. Hello, and thank you so much for listening to Dunsparce and Drampa. What you've just listened to is the final regular episode of the campaign. 108 will be a series of vignettes featuring the Paco fast traveling around Hoenn, trying to recruit as many allies as they can for their final encounter with Neo Rocket Galactic. We'll be recording the finale, 109, live and in person, together at a real table before the end of this month, which we are all very excited about, and we hope that you will enjoy the dynamic of our roleplay outside of a Discord call. With only a couple of episodes left in the campaign, I'd like to wholeheartedly thank everyone for listening to our irreverent adventure, and we hope that you'll join us for ally recruitment vignettes on May 6th.
Ducks get drunk?
I'm trying to make
up. I got something I gotta add to my Google search history.
Duck drunk.
Can ducks get drunk?
Monkeys do. They get drunk off of fermented fruit.
Yeah, monkeys are like
people. They make junior wine for cats.
But that's like catnip water, right?
I guess.
Yeah, who knows?
Google AI says no.
What is it?
But Reddit says yes.
Wait, no, this is crazy because I also looked it up. I also looked it up, and Google AI told me yes. So yeah. What does that say about society?
Fuck.
It says exactly what we already knew. When they're in writing, that's what it's called, right? Emoticons? Am I an old man? Is that?
I mean, that was like the original term, but okay. Like.
Well, that was like doing colon close parenthesis, right? That's an emoticon, right? I don't know. Who knows?
I even have some I made up myself. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what we had when we were young, when we would ride our dinosaurs to school.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Could you imagine living in a world that didn't have an emoji keyboard? Couldn't have been me.
Oh, my favorite was doing this little walrus guy.
Oh, very sweet.
Anyway.
Before you do, you're going to have to tell me what disco fries are.
Okay. Disco fries are French fries with gravy and mozzarella cheese. It's like New Jersey poutine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's definitely what that is. Poutine these nuts in your mouth, am I right?
having flashbacks there.
I had to run it back because of when Squids did it to me. I don't honestly mean that. I apologize.
God, I opened voice text. It was just a fucking toad. I was like, huh?
That's Sam's mother.
It's like, wow, that's crazy.
Wow. The whole time she's talking like that, resistant RP.
Hard as a mom.
That's funny.